Ready, down, hut, 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 hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros in Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com.
Before we get to Jason Wilde, I do want to read this text that we got from John in MKE. John says on the Carblues Talking text line, 800-990-3776, people who worked on the auto lines down in Kenosha, they would pick a spot in the car. They would put a mark to show that it was built on a Monday to avoid exactly what Chewy is talking about. So yes, it is true.
See?
This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Uncle Bill knows his stuff.
So, just wanted to get that out there So you feel good about that. We now welcome in our friend, we welcome in our teammate, we welcome in Jason Wilde to the program. Good morning, Jason.
I just never know what I'm walking into on this show.
Yeah, either do I.
Jason, do you have a tongue scraper?
I do not. Can I borrow yours?
Yeah, sure. But it's just, I think it's just a great tool to have in the tool. You know, I played with, as you know, Jason, Ed West, the toolbox.
Sure.
And he told me you can never have enough tools, and I think this is a very good tool.
Jason, if Paula...
I'm almost addicted to it.
Jason, if Paula got you a tongue scraper, would you potentially interpret that as, hey, my breath stinks and I need a tongue scraper?
So my question is... is proving my point about I don't know what I'm walking into. I use my toothbrush. I'm kind of finicky about my oral hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to brush my teeth after meals because I am paranoid about bad breath. I've certainly interviewed my share of players and spoken to my share of other humans whose breath smelled rancid, so I've always been like, I'm a big gum chewer. When do I use the tongue scraper? Because what I do is I brush my teeth, and then at the end of the toothbrushing process, I use my toothbrush to brush my tongue, and then I rinse out the toothbrush, and so, I go about my day. When do I add that to my repertoire?
So I go water pick, mouthwash, brush, tongue scraper.
Hold on. You do the mouthwash first?
No, after the water pick.
Yeah, but you do it before you brush your teeth?
Yes.
I thought you were supposed to do that after.
I don't think you're supposed to do it that way.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do it after.
Yeah, now we're learning even more.
No wonder you need all these implements. You're doing it wrong. Brushing your teeth wrong.
God, Jason, I could do anything. I could cure cancer on this show, and they would still come at me.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you cure cancer, are we going to question your methods and ask if you did it out of order? Sure, but we'll still be happy that you
okay,
did it.
All right.
We just want to help you, man.
Okay.
We just want to help
you.
Your mouth hygiene.
The tongue scraper is wonderful. Jason, how was my breath? Was that ever like, oh, whoa.
I don't know, with that damn locker of yours in the corner, I can never get to you.
Now, the smell, but my breath was still fine.
Yeah, my recollection of your breath was sweet. It was sweet-smelling breath.
Yeah.
What the hell was that bar that I saw you in Madison while you were still playing? And like, you saw me right away, and I think your first reaction was, oh, crap. Wilde just saw me in a bar in Madison. And then I think it was, oh, wait, Wilde's not going to write about that. I'm fine. I don't have anything to worry about.
Jason,
then we had a lovely evening.
I think I remember you walked down the hill from what's the hotel? Commodore? Jason?
Yeah. Which one did you guys stay at that year?
I want to say, was it the Commodore? It started with a C. But I don't think that bar's there anymore. That was our hang. That was a good spot. Very nice people.
We need to bring back the Packers preseason games in Madison. That used to be my only home game.
Yeah, all those were terrible.
on that green painted concrete they called AstroTurf.
And then you could only see across the field, Jason, about half of the opposing team because the crown. Yeah. The crown was unbelievable.
On the AstroTurf?
Yes. The nice thing is, you know, ball in the middle of the field, I'm running downhill into the flat. So I was actually faster, but they spread me out wide. Ooh.
You're coming in motion.
Yeah.
You're running uphill.
Like gas. We need a hydration break.
Jason Wilde joining us on the Yuengling guest hotline. Jason, when are you going to start your player and position by position preview over at Channel 3000? Because we are less than 3 weeks away from camp opening.
And we're looking for content. That will kick off the 20 most important Packers series, which began in 2009, I believe, when we invented ESPNWisconsin.com that first time. That will start this week. I believe number 20 will be unveiled on Thursday.
Okay.
And then the position by position previews, I think I have penciled in, because I've expanded it now. I have basically, again, in the search for, because look, we all have this problem at this time of the year. Like, we certainly, you know, the World Cup's been a lovely distraction. I did not enjoy, I felt like I wasted my time last night, and I'm guessing the U.S. men's national team felt the same way based on their performance. The Brewers, obviously, we don't talk about them a ton because that's not our area of expertise. We usually take a clip from you, or we have one of our many Brewers experts join us so we can be smarter.
Is that because Tausch and Jesse, it's like an annual rite of passage at this point of them giving up on the Brewers way too soon, and then the Brewers win the division and make the playoffs and make them look foolish? Is that why?
I mean, I'm sure that's a factor. I mean, sure. That time when they got swept by the A's and those two declared, I mean, I think they were going to move the team to Nashville on us. It was so bad. But I just think philosophically for me, I think the thing we do most effectively is discuss the Packers because we got a guy that played for them for 11 years and a guy who's covered them for 31, right? So I don't like to talk about things that I'm not really smart about just because I think it does our fans a disservice. But when it comes to the Packers, this dead zone, you know, you end up with these cockamamie lists that are just nonsense. And so I started the countdown of the players just because I think there's some substance to each of those stories. And then the previews, like now, it used to be, I used to group the tight ends and the wide receivers together when I first started doing it in 1999. Well, that now those are two separate days. Safeties and corners are two separate days. I might start doing one on the kickers, one on the punters, and one on the long snappers just to extend it. But I think that starts July 17th, so a little more than about 10 days from now.
Well, quickly, my follow-up, Jason, is one of your favorite things to do is to not actually limit yourself to 20. So how many actual players are going to be in the top 20?
25, 24-ish, probably.
Because you like to pair guys together that makes sense to pair together to get more guys on the list.
Yeah, I cheat. I know, and look. I know you're a man of integrity. Your parents raised you well. But at the same time, like, I feel like I'm a pretty honest person, but I feel like this is an over-deliver for our fans that are reading it. They get more for their money, and they don't have a paywall to go behind.
Right?
So they really get a bargain.
Jason, in regards to the roster, I was looking at a list. I don't know if it was Fox, ESPN, but they had him as the 10th best roster in the NFL. Okay? So all I care about is the 53, the original 53, because like in 92, 93, there were probably 15 spots available out of the 53. And then obviously you go to 96 and there's probably five. How many spots you think out of that 53 they have no idea yet?
Boy, that's a really good question. Because first of all, by the way, those lists, like, there's no way. I don't know who wrote it. I'm not disparaging them at all, but there is no way that any human knows the depth charts beyond the starters of all 32 teams so thoroughly.
Yeah.
That they can, like, I like the Packers. If you wanted to do that project and did it as as their starters, I could see someone, again, I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to spend time figuring out who the left guard is for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, like, I feel like you could do that. The concern I have about this team is that, first of all, to your point, I think most of their backups are penciled in. It's just I don't know how good they are if they have to play, right? Like, and I always use this as an example because this kid was clearly not ready to play. And then last year he suffers this shoulder injury in training camp. But his name's Travis Glover. He played, I believe, at Georgia State. He was a sixth-round pick a couple of years ago. And then in that playoff game in Philly where everybody and their brother got hurt, including Elgton Jenkins, and then Goody obviously overcorrected by, oh, we got to get bigger up front against this kind of a front four. Travis Glover had to go in, and he just got cooked. It was a rookie sixth-round pick who you didn't want him on the field, right? You wanted him to redshirt like Marco Rivera did as a rookie sixth-round pick in 96. And I'm not saying that he would have become a multi-time Pro Bowler, but he wasn't ready. And then last year he loses the whole year to the shoulder surgery. So, like, how good do I feel about him or as Goody called Donovan Jennings, Dominic Jennings? Like, I don't feel great about their starting offensive line because I think there's a question with every one of them, including their best one in Zach Tom because of the torn patellar tendon. And then I have even more questions about their backups. And Jagger Burton being in the mix for playing time, is that because he's been so star-spangled awesome this offseason? Or is it because they're not really sure about Belton? What is that about, right? Mm-hmm. So my issue with the roster is, you know, there probably is only, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but 6-7 spots that are really in question. Because, like, let's take corner, for example. You know, Goody always, and again, Domani Jackson hasn't practiced. I don't know what his injury was during the offseason. But there's a guy that was once the number one recruit in the state of California. You drafted him in the sixth round. He's probably going to make the roster, whether he deserves to or not, right? And you only have six draft picks. But at the same time, like, I look at corner and I say, well, Cisse is going to make it. Nixon's going to make it. Carrington Valentine's going to make it. If Jackson is able to do anything in camp, he's going to make it. But you got to have another one.
Yeah.
And is that going to be someone who, you know, at the end of the season last year was playing some because they were so down on the corner? I don't know. But to your point, yeah, I remember back in your time, there was at least some question, not on the 96 team, but certainly years after that.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to make this roster? And that's, those days, I was saying this to somebody, maybe I said it on, you know, on the State of the Packers game. Like, in today's day and age, your team is largely set at this point.
Yeah.
It's just a question of, is somebody going to spring up and win a job that they're not expecting them to, or win a starting job you're not expecting them to?
Jason, we talked about this a little bit yesterday on our show, but what did you make of some of the guys heading down to Texas and hanging out with Micah Parsons and going through some workouts at his house?
Yeah, of course, you know me. I mean, I love that. I think it's phenomenal. I think that kind of stuff really does matter, especially, and again, maybe it didn't matter in Chewy's day when they didn't have tight end university and stuff like that. But guys are different now. I would argue they're, frankly, more like me. Right? A little more sensitive, a little more relationshipy, as opposed to, you know, maybe the kind of guys that, you know, you obviously had your core group and you were tight with your other tight end teammates, or at least some of them. But like all the stuff that guys do now, instead of just drinking at the bar by training camp. I mean, there is. I think we see that people feel value in that. Now, the question I have, because I think there are Cowboys fans that think that Micah Parsons was a me guy and they are not big fans of him, and they think this is kind of phony from what I've gathered from their responses, is, has he turned over a new leaf? Is he in a place now where he feels like he needs to be this type of leader and is embracing it? Is it, I don't think it's just, you know, PR, but at the same time, like I think this is great, and I'm going to choose to believe that it's authentic and not some sort of a, you know, look at what a great teammate I am type of deal. But I understand that there are Cowboys fans that are questioning it. How do you view it?
I mean, we talked about it. I think it's great. You know, having everybody get together, having him give that attention to, it feels weird saying, oh yeah, Micah Parsons, this veteran player, because he's been in the league for 5 years, right? But
right,
compared to everybody else, and while the Packers, yes, did add a couple of veterans to that defense, they're still a relatively young team mm-hmm. outside of Hargrave and Zaire Franklin. It's a lot of guys that are on rookie deals, and when a guy who is on a Hall of Fame track, he has talked up everybody, and we talked about this during the regular season into the postseason, Jason. He talked up just about everyone. I mean, some more than others, but other than Rashawn Gary, except he seemed Rashawn to Gary. Love everyone, mm-hmm. right? The way he would talk about Colin Oliver, Baron Sorrell. The only person who loves Lucas Van Ness more than Micah Parsons is LVN's family, the way that Micah has talked about him. But I would imagine that somebody who has had the success in the league that Micah has, when he talks about you like that publicly and then privately has you over to his house for workouts, uh-huh. I'm assuming that means a lot to the young players and just, again, adds that connectivity that apparently was a little bit of an issue last year for the Packers.
Yeah, and when you're built the way they're built, and obviously, you know, Chewy's 96 Super Bowl team had Reggie and Leroy and Eugene Robinson and those guys. But, like, Chewy was, what, a fifth-year player at the time?
Yeah.
Favre, kind of in that same age group. Like, mm-hmm. those guys have to show leadership, too. And I think they have a good group. Like, McKinney, you know, I know the Jacobs thing is still kind of lingering, but I think from a purely football teammate perspective, I think he's really good for that team. I want someone like Micah Parsons taking on that role. At the same time, I am fascinated with Zaire Franklin. And I mentioned this the other day, but like I'm standing in the locker room. You know, I was in the scrum when he talked the first day that we had access to him. But like he comes over and introduces himself to me. Like, I don't know if he's looking at me going, God, this guy must have been covering this team for a long time. Look how freaking old he is. but nobody does that. Nobody does that. So, I think he's obviously got to play at a higher level than he did last year. If he could play like he did 2 years ago and add all the intangible stuff that he brings to the table, I think he's going to be valuable in that role. But, yeah, to your point, like, if your best player is also among your best teammates, which at least right now is the way Micah Parsons is clearly behaving, I think that's as good as you can get for your team.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing more from you, at least on our show, later this week, and more from you coming up at 9 o'clock on Willie and Tausch.
All right, I'm going to get on Amazon here and order
get
myself
that
a scraper. Yeah, I'm on the case. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
It's better than if Chewy gives it to you. Again, that implies, Jason, you got bad breath. Clean it up, buddy.
What if I could have used one of those? I would have lost it.
Yeah. That's
wouldn't be good.
Those would probably be, as you mentioned, the two most disgusting things you could get used. Yeah. Tongue scraper and sandals.
Yes.
Yeah, not great. Not great. Let me tell you about our good friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, because they believe shopping for new windows and doors should never include haggling. And what Pella does is they stick to straightforward pricing, Honest conversations helping homeowners find the right fit for their home, and they never use high-pressure sales tactics. When you buy direct through Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, the same team that manufactures your windows and doors also sells, installs, and services them. Real pricing, premium quality, no games. They were fantastic when we walked through the options for my new front door last fall, and they will be fantastic for you as well. So schedule that free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.